Take your Bible and turn to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel 8, and we'll look at this. And we've been looking at Daniel 1 through 7 already. We went through seven chapters of Daniel, and the theme of Daniel chapters 1 through 7 is God's sovereign rule over the Gentiles. The Gentiles are the nations of the world that will be in power and have power over God's people, Israel, God's chosen nation. But in chapters 1 through 7, we saw that God was in control. Why is that important in the book of Daniel? I'll tell you why it's important. Because Israel had been taken out of their land. Their temple had eventually been burned and to the ground, and they were taken out of their land. Many people like Daniel no doubt lost his dad and his mom, and they were just the orphans, so to speak. And boy, they might think that God is in control. Maybe you've gone through a hard time in your life this week, or maybe this year, and you don't understand it. And you wonder if God is God, if He's a loving God, why are these things happening to me? Well, Daniel is written to remind us, beloved ones, that God is in control. He's sovereign. That means that He is in control of every raindrop that falls, of everything that happens in your life. And He knows how to mingle the good and the bad and put it all together. And you know, when you make a cake, you mix together some ingredients that taste really good, and then you mix together, what is it, Rolaine, that doesn't taste so good? Baking soda?
Baking powder.
Baking powder and all that stuff. What else, Miss Judy? And vanilla. You don't like that, too. I can
tell.
Not by itself. All right. But you mix it all together with those other ingredients, and some of it tastes good, some of it tastes bad, but the cake tastes good, hopefully, at the end. And with God, you know it's going to be good. Everything is going to come out in the end, and you're going to see that God was really in control, and He worked everything together for good. If you are saved, you can say that. God is working everything together for good. We don't often tell what that good cake is, though. Do you ever know what the good is that He works everything together for in Romans 8? It's for a purpose. It's that you might be just like Jesus. He wants to make you like His Son. And He's squeezing you and molding you and making you. He's more concerned that you be like Jesus than that you're happy. And so sometimes you're not happy. Now, he doesn't want to make you miserable. And if you walk with the Lord, you'll have joy. And one of the things that will help you is to realize that God is in control when it seems like everything is out of control. The devil seems to be in control. No, he's God's devil. God uses the devil to work out His purpose. And in chapters 1 through 7, we saw that God was sovereign over the Gentile nations and what happened. And we saw in chapter 1 that He was sovereign over Gentile plans. We saw in chapter 2, Gentile powers. God is sovereign over these great empires. We saw in chapter 3, He's sovereign over Gentile punishment. When the king tried to put him in a fiery furnace, and God took care of him, and the Lord Jesus was right there. You know, the Lord Jesus said, "And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." He's going to be with us when times get dark. He's going to be with us, and the darker it gets, the more light you see Him shining forth. And in chapter 4, we saw He's sovereign over Gentile pride. Sometimes people don't know God. They don't believe in God, and they get really prideful, and they give you a hard time. God says, "Don't worry. I don't care if it's a prideful, unbelieving husband. I don't care if it's a prideful, unbelieving parent. I don't care if it's a prideful, unbelieving employer or whoever it is. God is in control." And He showed us that in Daniel 4 through Nebuchadnezzar, becoming like an animal. In 7 years, he lost his mental capacity. And then God restored him. And then chapter 5, God is sovereign. In chapter 5, over Gentile protection. Remember, they were partying it up and they thought they were safe. And God said, "No, you're not safe." And I've said it before, I'll say it again. The United States of America is going to have, don't be surprised, a suitcase nuclear bomb go off and blow up an entire city or cities. And it will happen, I believe, soon. And don't think God's not in control. He is during that time. Worse than 9/11. And what I'm saying to you is God is sovereign over these things. God has given us His protection while President Bush has been president. Thank God for that. Thank God for His protection. But it's not going to continue, I believe. There's a time when God's going to allow that to happen. But he's still in control of, of those bad times, and he uses it for good. And God is in control over a Gentile. That was chapter 5, Gentile protection. God is in control, chapter 6, we saw over Gentile politics. Remember, they tried to, when the new kingdom came in, the Medo-Persian kingdom, the politicians tried to get Daniel and knock him down. By the way, have you seen politicians try to get one another in trouble? You always hear these revelations that come out during the political season before the president left. Always hear these articles come out on these guys. Well, that's what they tried to do with Daniel. They couldn't find anything on him. They couldn't find any dirt on him. So what did they do in chapter 6 when they couldn't dig up the dirt on the guy? They couldn't find any dirt that would stick. What did they do? One of the men tell me, what did the politicians do? Brother Eddie?
They made a new law.
That's exactly right. They made a law that you couldn't pray. Do you think the devil wants to make a law in America you can't pray? Oh, yeah. He'd like to do that. You think he wants to make a law you can't witness? Get thrown in jail? Yeah, he'd want to do that. You know, he got it so that he got abortion in Roe v. Wade, 1972, through the Supreme Court. And so they can kill babies and have immorality and have babies, and you don't like the baby, you just kill the baby. Oh, a lot of people, I know a lot of people commit abortions, sad to say. And the law was made to not have public prayer in public school and Bible reading. They got evolution taught in the school instead of creation. For years in America, creation was taught as gospel in the public school. You see, the devil wants to eventually get God out of the whole public life of the United States of America. He wants to get In God We Trust off of our money. He wants to get Under God out of our Pledge Allegiance. He wants to get God's name out of all of this. And thank God, when the public school did that, guess what happened? A Christian school movement was raised up in the United States of America. And our Christian school is still going strong. You thank God for a Christian school, and especially one that's under an independent fundamental Baptist church with the right Bible and the right state. I can't tell you how important that is. God will bless that in the long run. Oh, we'll have problems along the way, but don't bail out on the school. You stick with the school and work through the problems, friends. Don't be a fool. I'm telling you. I'm warning you. I'm saying that's how God blesses. You stay with Him and you stay with what's best in your life. I've been here for many years. I've learned to persevere. I've been through many problems in the church. I've been through many problems in the school. But I've stayed and I've seen the blessings when you persevere and you work through the problems. And you don't run from the problems. You stay and you work through the problems in your home, in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your school, in your church. And so what I'm saying is God is sovereign, and He was sovereign over the politics in Daniel 6. And then in chapter 7, we saw again, similar to Daniel chapter 2, prophecy about these empires, these powers. And I said there, God is sovereign over Gentile prophecy because God can see into the future and He knows what's going to become of these Gentile powers that come on the scene and they want to be so powerful and they want to be so strong, and they want to run everything. I don't care. Maybe you disagree with me, but I think Hillary Clinton, she wants to be a big cheese, and she wants to run the show. She want to run her husband around. She want to be by the way, I'm not for women presidents. I don't believe in it. You can say amen if you want or not, but I don't believe in it. And I don't believe that's God's best and His plan. Now, He may allow it. I like Harriet Thatcher. I liked her politics in England. I won't lie. She's a conservative. I loved Harriet Thatcher's politics. But should have been able to find a man that was as good as Harriet Thatcher. We had a Ronald Reagan over here. Should have been able to find a man that'll do that job. When Barack would not go to war, Deborah said, "I'll go to war, but it'll be to your shame. It'll be to your shame." Because he was a chickadee, he wanted to go behind her apron strings and get out from under mama's apron strings and be a man and lead the way. And God's looking for men that'll lead the way in the church. And I thank God my wife it teaches at these ladies' meetings, and I know what her teaching is. She teaches the Word of God that a woman is her main and her chief goal in life. She was created, scared you, didn't I, to help a man. She was created to help men. I don't believe in women preachers. Now, my wife could probably out-preach me. You ladies heard her teach. She's good. I don't deny that. She's a better communicator than I am. I don't deny that. But I'm saying God made men to lead. Amen? He wants men to lead. He wants men to be the preachers. And what I'm saying to you is that, how did I get off on that? I don't even know. But here, Hillary Clinton. That's how I got off Hillary. And God, you see, has a plan, and that is a plan for men to lead. And He is sovereign over these Gentile powers, these Gentile empires. And wouldn't it be something if Hillary doesn't get elected as president? Wouldn't it be something if she gets surprised in the Democratic Party and Barack Obama gets in there instead of her? It looks like that could happen. That's shocking to a lot of people. And that's a great thing. I'm glad to see a guy like Barack Obama, a black man, and have an opportunity to do that. That's a great thing. But the problem with his politics is the problem. And I'd rather have a black man like Alan Keyes be up there. Or somebody like that, like Clarence Thomas, by the way, who was crucified by Ted Kennedy. And there's a godly black man on the Supreme Court that's a conservative. That's what we need in this country. Unfortunately, Barack's politics are left of Hillary even. He's more left than she is as far as I can see. But what I'm saying to you is that God is in control. God is sovereign. He is in control over all of these things. And he knows the end from the beginning. And he's sovereign over these Gentile prophecies that are going to happen. Now in chapter 2, remember, you have these Gentile empires, and these Gentile empires from the time of Daniel till the time Jesus comes back, God says these are the empires that are going to be in control over my chosen people. Who is God's chosen people? What is the chosen people of God? One of the men tell me. Here? The Israelites, the Israelite nation. I remember as a kid hearing about the children of Israel, the children of Israel. I never saw a Jew. I didn't see Jews. I didn't know Jews. But I kept hearing the children of Israel, children of Israel, children of Israel in Sunday school. I said, man, God really loves those people. Look at the things He did for that nation. And I remember, I wasn't even saved, but I remember hearing about the Israelites, the Israelites, the Israelites. And then I remember hearing that my church taught that Israel has no future. Israel is in the past, but when they rejected Christ, my church that I grew up in taught, when they rejected Christ, God just rejected them, and now He's saving the Gentiles. And maybe a Jew will get saved and be in the church, but the nation of Israel has no future. And I heard that, and then I got saved in 1967, and one of the things that led to me getting interested in the Bible and getting saved was in 1967, I learned that the Jews beat the Arabs in a six-day war. 160 million Arabs attacked just a few million people, and they defeated them, and miracles were done by God. And I said, wait a minute, this just isn't for the Bible days. My church is wrong. There is a future. These are still God's chosen people. Now, they don't believe in the Lord. The Jews don't believe in the Lord Jesus, the nation. But they're going to get saved, every one of them. Every last Jew in Israel will get saved. God will have to bring them through some things. But let me tell you, God is sovereign over Israel. And that's what we've been studying in Daniel chapter 1 through chapter 7. We've seen that God is sovereign over Gentiles. But in Daniel chapter 8 through Daniel chapter 12, we see God is sovereign over His chosen nation of Israel. And I am excited about Israel. I remember my great-grandmother. I remember the TV was just a new thing back then. I used to go to her home in Muskegon, Michigan. She'd be sitting there watching the Danny Thomas show. And she always told me, she said, hi, Rusty. She always thought I reminded her of Rusty on the Danny Thomas show. I found out later, poor Rusty killed himself. But she told me, she said, she'd get so excited. Look at these Jewish people. They're coming back to the land of Israel. This was in the 1950s. They're coming back. Oh man, this is the greatest thing ever to be done in prophecy. She believed that prophecy, you see. And that was a really neat thing. I got saved in her bedroom in 1967 in Muskegon, Michigan. She had a Schofield Bible sitting there right in the nightstand. I began to read that Bible, came under conviction of sin, and got saved. And I still have that old Schofield Bible she left. I tell you what, God is an exciting God. We are living exciting times. And listen, you kids, don't be dumb coughs when it comes to history. Listen to history. Listen to these lessons on geography. Learn these things, because they will help you to understand what's going on in your world, and they will help you to know God's plan, because God is concerned about the big picture, and He wants His people not to be ignorant. He wants His people not to be ignorant of the times and the seasons. He wants us to know all about the Lord coming back so we can be ready. I thank God for Patty Jordan. She is such a blessing to me. One of the greatest Christians that's been an encouragement to me is Patty Jordan. Was saved in this church out of the University of Scranton, when we had the Bible study in the University of Scranton back in the 1980s. And Patty Jordan has been such a blessing on prophecy. She sends me information. She's up on current events, and she's always studying prophecy, and such an encouragement. But great girl. And she's in a bus ministry out in Detroit, Michigan now. Her and her husband both doing a great job for God. And she's got a great, great guy that got saved out of the Catholic Church. Great guy. But what I'm saying to you is that God is sovereign, and we saw in chapters 1 through 7, He's sovereign over Gentiles, but in chapter 8 through 12, He's sovereign over the nation of Israel. And isn't it interesting, if you study Daniel, what language, does anybody know what language was Daniel 2 through 7 written in? Now, I know it's all in English now, but originally, what was it written in? What's that?
Coptic.
Coptic, eh? Huh? You're on the way. Close. Well, you're close. Heath? Who? You guessed right. You guessed right. The Bible's written in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. Those are the three languages. And most of your Aramaic is right here in Daniel 2 through 7. Very good, Heath. And interestingly, it was written in Aramaic for a reason. And here's the reason. Daniel was in Babylon. He'd been taken captive and gone 600 miles to the east, away from Israel, away from his land. Babylon had conquered his land, and that was the language of Babylon, Aramaic. And he's writing about the Gentiles, not the Jews, and about their future. And God wanted to be sure they understood what he was saying. He made sure it was in their language. And by the way, God wants you to understand the Bible. These things, some of these things we're studying are pretty hard to understand, but God wants you to understand it. He wants it brought down where you can understand it. But to understand it. And and then in chapter 8 through chapter 12, he switches back to the language of Hebrew. Why does he do that? Well, obviously because now he's talking in part 2 of this book, and this is all introduction tonight to part 2, because we just finished part 1. Daniel's 1 through 7 is part 1. Part 2 is 8 through 12, and it's talking about God's sovereign rule over his chosen nation Israel, demonstrated in chapters 8 through 12. And so now we're going to look at Israel and God's sovereignty in, and here's what we're looking at here. We're looking at God's sovereignty in the chastening of Israel. And you know what? When you are given the blessing and the privilege to be one of God's children, you get something that goes along with that. And what do you get that many people look at as negative that goes along with being a child of God? If you're a born-again Christian now, you're like Israel in the sense of, just like Israel is God's chosen nation, you are a chosen individual. Because even though you believed on Christ and you came to Him at His invitation, once you're saved, the Bible says the reason why you came to Christ and the reason why you responded to Him, because He chose you before you chose Him, John 15. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain. See, we're chosen in Him, Ephesians 1, before the foundation of the world. And so, one of the privileges of being a chosen vessel for God is that you get something that is looked upon as negative. Now, what is that that's looked upon as negative? I just mentioned it here. That is going to happen to Israel when you're chosen of God. What do you get? Any one of the men got a guess where I'm going with this? I know I haven't even told you where I'm going. Yes, Denny? What's that? Yes. And if you have salvation and eternal life, and Denny's absolutely right, God does something with you. Because if you're saved, you're His child. You're in His family. You're adopted into His family. By the way, we're His by adoption. And you're also born into His family. We are adopted, and we also have His nature. So we're His children two different ways. We were in the devil's family, adopted us into His family. We're His by nature. But there's something that you get that's considered negative, but it's really a blessing. And what is that? One of the men. I know some of you know what it is. I know some of the ladies know what it is. David?
You get saved.
Well, he just said that. You get saved. Let's take another S word. How about you get spanked? You like that one? Denny? You become a child of the king and you get spanked. Because he wants to spank you. Now, we laugh at that, but wait a minute. My wife was telling me about two girls that ran out of a store, and they ran into a store where she was shopping. They were like 13-year-old girls. And this lady was chasing them, and she was the manager of the store. And she said, you know, you're calling me all these names and doing all these bad things and pitching a fit in the store. And they were telling that lady, shut up! We're not talking to you. We're talking to our mother. Mom, we should call 911. This lady's scaring us. She's scaring kids. They're going out telling this lady, shut up! Every time she tried to speak up. Young lady was going by, about 30 years old. She says, what ever happened? Why don't we know how to raise kids anymore? What happened? And the lady that was the manager of the store said to the mother, she said, "What is this the way that you allow your kids to be?" She said, I'm just listening now. I'm getting both sides. I'm getting the story. Yeah, you're getting the story. And what's wrong with this country is that liberals that don't believe this book right here, that run a lot of the children's services in this country, have made spanking a negative thing. What's that, brother? Yeah? Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I'll have to check that out, but I don't think it is. I think you think it is. What's that? Yeah, I don't believe it's legal in Pennsylvania. I will check it out. I don't believe it's legal because I've been checking it out. But they will lie to you too. They will lie to you. They will try to scare you. There's a lot of things that people have believed is against the law. And they don't know their constitutional right. They don't know what the law is. And so they get you because you don't really know what it is. All right? Now, I will check my lawyer. And I will double check that because I don't believe it's true. But I will check my lawyer. I will check David Gibbs, who represented Terry Schiavo. Yeah. Well, I'll get back to you on that. But I'm going to tell you right now, this country, and that's the way they want to move to make it illegal in every state in this country. But I want to tell you that that you never, never break the law of God to listen to the law of man. If this is your legal child, you're the legal guardian of this child, you do what God says, and you obey God rather than man. And you say, well, people aren't doing that, and our country's not doing that, the majority of our country. Yeah, and God's able to blow up a few cities here and there. And He's going to do it. He's not playing. He's not playing. He is the sovereign God. And when governments and men go against Him, they're going to find out. He is the sovereign God. He was able to use nations to spank Israel. He's able to use nations to spank our nation and deal with our nation. And He is in control. And the United States of America has been more blessed, I believe, than any other nation in the history of the world other than Israel. We were founded in Christian principles. We had great blessings in our Constitution, our nation. And we, as God's people, need to stand by and do what's right under God. And we need to stand up for what's right and not allow the liberals to just cower us into their little place. The Bible says the righteous are what? As bold as lions. They're as bold as lions. And so what I want to say to you is that God will chasten, He will spank His children. And Israel was in captivity because that they were being spanked. Now, let me go back to the history here. In chapter 7, God had given a vision to Daniel, and that vision was in the first year of Belshazzar the king. And that vision and dream, while he was laying in his bed when he had that vision and dream, that vision had to do with these four beasts. And it troubled him. Why did it trouble him? Because he had thought, well, I know God's chasing us. Our nation went through horrible things. And he lost his parents. He lost his home. He lost, you know, the temple, everything. I know we're being chastened. And they were in captivity for years by then. It was around, you know, in the 500s B.C. And he said, I know we're being chastened. He said, but once this Babylonian captivity is over, we're going to go back to our land and get our temple back and everything. And God showed him in that vision, you've got some nations that are going to take over after Babylon. Babylon's represented by a lion. The next nation that's going to take over after Babylon is represented by a great big what? Growly what? Bear. And one side of the bear was higher than the other, representing the Persians were going to become stronger than the Medes, the Medo-Persian Empire. And that's the next thing. And he's like, wow. And that doesn't look like friendly animals. There's a lion, you know, lions and tigers and bears. Oh, boy. You know, and then he's scared. You know, in chapter 2, the nations were represented by this beautiful shimmering image. But now in chapter 7, the same nations are represented by ferocious animals. And what did that show you? That even though to man, politicians look good and kingdoms look good, God sees underneath that they're like ferocious animals that want to devour you. And that can happen. Your government can turn on you. And so that's what he saw there. He saw a lion, he saw a bear, and then he saw a leopard with four wings, and that represented another empire. Anybody know what empire that represented? That was the empire in Daniel chapter 2 that had the belly of bronze and the thighs of bronze. Anybody know what that was? Kim? Oh, that's the next one. It's the Grecian Empire. And that was represented by a leopard. And then finally, the Roman Empire was represented by a nondescript beast with iron teeth. The most ugly thing you ever saw. No animal could even be like it. It was the Roman Empire. I had one of our girls today at our school. She said, Pastor, I'm studying the EU. Can you show me on the map where the EU is? And I said, well, get me a map and I'll show you. She said, right there. So I showed her the EU and I started tracing it. 27 nations starting from Western Europe. And you know what? It goes to Eastern Europe and it's going right into the Middle East and right around the Mediterranean Sea. And I looked at it and I said, it's the same path of the Roman Empire. The European Union is the revival of the Roman Empire. Just like modern Israel is the revival of Israel. The European Union. Keep your eye on the European Union. I heard Paul Harvey today. Stand by for news. And he was talking about right now in New York City, antique shops and other stops said, don't give us dollars, give us euros. Just yesterday, the euro was up against the dollar. Right now, your dollar, it'll take $1.50 to buy a euro. Over $1.50. The euro is going up. The European Union is twice as big as the United States of America. They are... they're going to be the great dominant power, the Bible says, as we come down to the end of the age, a world ruling power, the European Union. Keep your eye on it. Bible scholars have been saying it forever. And that is the Roman Empire. That's the revival of the Roman Empire, Kimmy. And that'll be the fourth beast. But Daniel, here's the point. Daniel saw in chapter 7 these beast empires, and he said, man, and the beast empires represented that they would persecute the people of Israel, that they would be used to spank God's people Israel. That'd be like if you saw the United States, and you saw these visions of the United States, and you saw terrible fires burning all over the United States, then you saw all these terrible things happening. How would you feel about it? You'd feel bad, wouldn't you? And that's how Daniel felt. He was like, oh no, my country, my people. And he said, oh man, God, I didn't know it was going to be so long that they're going to have to be chasing. And so God gives him, listen to me, God gives him in chapter 8 now, he begins to talk to him about Israel, and he gives him a vision in chapter 8 and explains to him about how the next empire that's going to come and the next empire after that, how they're going to be used to chasten Israel. And then he shows him how that next empire, not the next one, but the next one, he shows him how that represents the final Roman Empire. It isn't the Roman Empire, but it represents it in type. It's a symbol of it. And he shows how that represents that. We'll get into that later on. But he shows him that because he's interested in the final end. In other words, he's showing Daniel, you got more time to be chastened. And then he's given him a peek of 1,000 years ahead, a couple thousand years ahead, over 2,500 years ahead, and what's going to happen. See, God is interested in the big picture. And I'll tell you something. The exciting thing to me is we are living in that 25-year ahead period. We are living in the end times. We are living right now. The European Union is negotiating to help Israel find peace in the Middle East. And what the Bible says about the Roman Empire is being fulfilled in the rise and the control of the European Union, which is gaining power not by war like Hitler tried, but by peace. And it's all foreshadowed in Daniel 7 and Daniel 8. And it's prophesied in Daniel 9. Man, that is exciting to me. I used to talk with my grandmother. In 1967, my grandmother was the adopted daughter of my great-grandmother I just told you about. She never knew she was adopted until my great-grandmother died. Back then, they didn't tell them those things. She found out she was found on a doorstep in Prince George's County in Baltimore after my grandmother died by my great-grandmother's one of her best friends. But my grandmother got saved, and she was a secretary at a Baptist church, like Rolaine here is. And she... my grandmother, very intelligent lady, she would talk to me about prophecy and history and these kind of things. And I spent time over at her house in the summer. And I got saved there at her house in 1967. And we talked about these things that are coming to pass. And you know what? I'm still here. And I very well expect to be here when Jesus comes back. And I believe this is the generation that could see all these things be fulfilled. Very, very, very possible. And so as we study Daniel chapter 8, I want you to read Daniel chapter 8. I want you to read it. And I want you to think about this and learn about this and study this and understand that God didn't just give this to Daniel for Daniel's sake, but God gave it to Daniel. So he put it down in the Word of God. And then God gave you pastors and teachers that are really into this stuff. Why? So it can help you to understand. I love this stuff. I get into this stuff. Why is it? I love what I'm doing. I love my calling. Why do I love it? And I get, hey, my job is to study and preach the Word of God. What could be better than that? Do I enjoy what I'm doing? You better believe I enjoy what I'm doing. I'm fulfilling God's purpose for my life. But it's for your benefit. It's for your benefit. God says a pastor teacher is a gift to the church. It's Christ's gift to you. And that's what I'm here for you, to serve you. And I'm just saying, take advantage of it. Take full advantage of it and use it. Young people, use it. And I know many of you are, and I thank God for that tonight. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. We've been studying the Word of God. And thank God for those of you that have been here listening to us study the Word of God and staying awake and listening. And you might not understand it all, but listen, a baby doesn't understand everything his mom and dad say, but eventually he starts going, God, God, goo, goo, dad, 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 mama. And then he begins to talk in words and sentences, and pretty soon he's in town. And it can happen in your life too. But it won't happen if you don't keep coming to church, if you don't keep listening and reading your Bible. So keep on keeping on. I wonder who will say here, Pastor, I know the Bible says I'm supposed to be watching for the coming of the Lord Jesus. And I might not understand it all, but I want to learn more. And I want to watch better. And I want to see more about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I make a commitment tonight that I will study to show myself approved unto God. I'll read and I'll listen. And if I can't read well, I'll listen to tapes and I'll listen to the message more than once. We got a tape ministry. By the way, Miss Judy's taping us tonight. And I'll listen and I'll learn because I want to know the truth about these things and I want to help others. Who'll say, Pastor, that's my commitment. I'll raise my right hand. Hold it up high tonight. Amen. Many of you that are here, thank God. You may put it down. Now listen to me tonight. The most important thing is you need to know you were saved. I told a guy yesterday, I said, look, I said, you need to know you're saved. He said, well, you know what? I'm going to call upon the Lord when I'm ready. And I said, the Bible says, don't boast yourself of tomorrow because you don't know what a day is going to bring forth. None of us know what's going to happen tomorrow. I said, we need to get saved right now. And he said, you know what? You're right. I said, do you want to get saved right now? He said, yes, I do. And in tears, he accepted the Lord. His wife hugged him. She was in tears. She hugged me. She was so happy. Now listen to me tonight. If you're not saved, if you're not sure you're saved, there's only one safe place to escape God's wrath, and that is inside of Jesus. And the only way you could be inside of Jesus is call upon Him tonight to save you. If you haven't done that, or you're not sure you've called upon the Lord to save you, would you do it right now? Right where you are in your seat, it says in the Bible, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I just want to get you to Jesus Christ, because once you come to Him, He won't cast you out. John chapter 6 says that. I wonder if there's anybody say, Pastor, I'm not sure, but tonight I'm calling upon the Lord. I'm making sure, based on the Word of God, based on God's promise, that I'm saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm praying that prayer. Would you raise your right hand? I'll pray for you tonight. All right. I see those hands. Make sure of it tonight. You may put them down, young people. Make sure of it tonight. And then take God at His word. When the devil comes, you don't have to doubt, because He says, in the word of God, he that cometh to me, I'll no wise cast out. Jesus said that. And if you come to Him by faith, He says, I save you. I promise to save you. He promises. He won't lie to you. Just take Him at His word tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You tonight that we can take You at Your word, that You've exalted Your word above Your name. We thank You for the blessed Holy Spirit that teaches us the word of God. And we thank You for pastors and teachers that You use, Lord, in the church. And Lord, we thank You for these people that are taking advantage of it tonight. And Lord, I pray it would benefit them, it would benefit their lives, their homes, their families. And I pray, Lord, they'd not be intimidated by a bunch of liberals, unbelievers, to do what the world says to do instead of what Your word says. Help them, Lord, to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, we pray. And Lord, we do pray for our government, that You might deal in our local government, our state government, and our national government to bring this nation back to Your way. Do whatever You need to do, Lord. But do it, we pray. Lord, take us to the woodshed for some bloodshed, Lord. But purify this place, I pray. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.